The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We're back. Final hour is live. Thanks so much for being a part of it. And Johnny B. is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Johnny B.
Man, I think it was the last caller, the guy that mentioned Jesse Owen. I worked at the paper mill up in Cortland. I had something different I'll get back to. But I worked up that paper mill at Cortland, Alabama, where he was from.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a relative of his, and she was an older lady. She's about ready to retire. But she was real, you know, a mother-type figure to us. And she had kind of a hitch in her giddy-up. Her hip was out to the side, and it looked like she was on her, you know, ready to fall over at any time. And as you valve those machines off for an outage, you learned very early on that there was whistles, a steam whistle, and you knew if you heard that, you were supposed to get out of the area. So somebody messed up one day valving that off, and a whole bunch of us were around there doing our jobs. Well, that steam whistle started blowing, and we took off running, and that relative of Jesse Owens that I thought was on her deathbed, she passed every one of us like a Lamborghini would pass a Dodge.
Yeah, you're right. He was from right up there, and he was born there. I don't think he stayed in Alabama long, but I've been to the hometown.
Yeah, that's the reason there's so many. There's an amazing group of athletes, you know, that's came from. A lot of them went to Alabama from Town Creek and up in that area. But anyway, then I was going to touch on the squirrel and Jim thing. That kind of reminded me of the old Looney Tunes cartoons, you know, where, you know, is this thing like wrestling? You know, the sheepdog would punch in and the coyote would punch in, and they'd go do their jobs and then beat the crap out of each other, and at the end of the day they punch out and they're buddies again.
That's, oh yeah, that is funny. Hey, thank you so much, Johnny B. Mark is in Tuscaloosa. You are on the air. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul, I'm just so grateful to be able to speak with you, this afternoon. I've listened all week, and not only live in Tuscaloosa, but I have information that's not been even talked about on this show or reported that I think explains it really, really easily, should be able to, why Alabama was caught flat-footed and why you will not hear anything from them, and I'd like to give that information to you.
Yeah, Mark, I would certainly like to hear that.
Okay. The Tuscaloosa Police Department, when they arrive on the scene, they take what's called the commander role. I don't know if you've ever known anything about that part of the investigation, but when they take over, it's called a commander role, which means all information is sealed, particularly with capital murder case, it's sealed. All information that is released, I mean, it is beyond a gag order. It is the highest level of scrutiny. Information that Coach Oates has is as needed, as you need to know. And so I'm really, really surprised that throughout the week that there really hasn't been this discussion that it is the Tuscaloosa Police Department, not the University of Alabama, that will control the narrative. And they do have the right to tell the trustees, to tell the president, to tell Nick Saban, to tell whoever they want to tell, you will not say anything. You can get, and they're not going to make a statement either. You're not going to get Tuscaloosa Police to come out and make a statement saying, you know, be easy on Alabama. We're the ones over here that's got the, you know, following the protocols of the law. So that's the sad part of this, is that it's so simple, and yet everyone rushed to judgment, and the answer was right in front of us. Alabama cannot speak because, again, not to be redundant, but you can look it up. You can talk to Tommy Spina, a well-respected defense attorney in Alabama, which I have. And this is exactly what's going on at the university.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. The one thing that I think it's a delicate balance. I would agree with you. And I have no, I don't know the relationship between the Tuscaloosa PD and the university. I know at one time it was rather difficult. I'm assuming it's gotten a lot better.
Well, I don't think that's even going to be.
Well, no,
I think
but all it, I'm saying is that the university has.
Oh yes.
Has three players that are either involved or on the periphery of this. So I'm sure they're trying to get an understanding at some point. Where I'm not saying they're asking the police department for the file, but I mean I would think that through communications of some sort, they would probably want to know or have some understanding that, but primarily because their players are being interviewed. I mean, both of the Alabama players that are currently on the roster and starting, as opposed to Miles, who clearly was in jail at this moment in time, what's the deal? I know what you're saying, and I certainly respect that, but I'm sure the university would be trying to inquire as much information as they can. Whether it's through, because everybody had, I'm sure these, I would assume too that Brandon Miles, Brandon Miller, had an attorney at this point.
Yeah, and just if I can make one more statement, I do appreciate the time here. The other point to look at this, Paul, is Alabama, I will put some fault. I'm a big Bama fan, living here and everything, but Greg Byrne and the president, I think that, clearly, this has been going on for over whatever it's been, 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
They've had time to put together a politically correct statement and one that would kind of ease the maybe kind of prevent such a national outrage and lock him up at South Carolina. Chance probably would not have taken place. I think there can be a statement like that. So shame on the university.
Mark,
let me
make this point about that, and I'm not a crisis manager. I'm a talk show host, okay? But Greg Byrne and the university have a lot of people on their staff that are experts in this. I mean, they teach it across the street at the School of Communication.
I
promise you, I was there not long ago. And you can invite the media into your office. The White House does this all the time, and guide them, saying, "Listen, we have a very delicate situation here, and this is where we are. We're going to acknowledge this, but we really can't say that." And the media in Tuscaloosa and in most places, by the way, are going to be your friend if you give them some guidance. Nobody knew what was coming the other day, including Nate Oates.
And if I could give a just quick statement there, the reason they're not going to do that, and I agree with you, in most cases, in a capital murder case, if they did that, they themselves have just committed a felony.
By the way, Mark, I'm not saying that they say what. All they have to say is, we have a player. They had to know. If I could ask you this, or you tell me, did they not realize on Tuesday that this was going to come out? That's my question.
And I do not think they did. I do not.
Well,
I do.
I fault them for not being in tune with what's going on in their own community. And I'm not. We're not talking about CIA secrets here. It's hard to imagine they didn't know while there were a number of reporters, including the one we talked to the other day, Carol Robinson, who were in court. How did the media know and the University of Alabama not know?
Well, again, I think it's part of that confidential, that it's a chain of command, Paul. And I think if it's the unfortunate part, how there's sometimes you get in a position as an administrator, and I've been a school superintendent before where, I can't communicate anything to you at
that.
All.
Yet, I promise you, I've been called in on stories that you cannot talk about. None this serious, by the way, but I know what you're talking about. But
right.
I'm just curious how all these reporters knew to go to the courthouse, but the university didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, but I think a lot of those reporters went out of curiosity, and I think they all learned Miller's involvement that day.
No, I'm aware of that, but they had to know. They had to know to go down there.
Yeah, there's leak. There's definitely leaks.
Well,
and I let me say this, Paul. You do a great job. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you letting me have this time. But if everyone would just remember the commander role and remember and look that up and double and fact check me on this, because it's definitely
okay,
there.
Listen,
and
Mark,
think
I appreciate you saying that.
Thank you.
I will also say this, and I'm not trying to act like I wouldn't respect the law, but I've been involved in a lot of big cases before. And there are people leaking like a sieve at every level of local government, state government, and obviously national government. So there are many ways to do that without, you know, being hauled into court. And, you know, there have been many cases involved that not to mitigate this is a very serious case, but involving national security, involving countless situations on the highest possible level where, rightly or wrongly, information is getting out. I just have a hard time of believing that the Tuscaloosa Police Department, having covered that police department before in my career, is that locked down.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Call Feinbaum now. 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Southern Hoops on Monday night, part five, the continuation of what has been a critically acclaimed series, and we'll talk more about it on Monday. So the news earlier today, Ole Miss fired Kermit Davis with week and a half remaining in the season. And now the conversation about who will take his place. It was a rough ride for Kermit, made the NCAA tournament his first year, and then didn't get back. Jeff Goodman rejoins us. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk to Jeff. We used to talk to him all the time when he was at ESPN. Jeff, thanks for your time. Great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. All is well. Other than the fact that I'm back here in Boston to the snow.
Oh, yeah.
That's not so good, Paul. I got smart, though. I got one kid. She's a freshman in Indiana, so we spent 6 weeks in Charleston. And the only dumb thing was leaving Charleston after 6 weeks instead of about 12.
Yeah, I'm not that far from Charleston. It was in the 70s here today and 80 yesterday.
Thanks.
Not to rub it in. Jeff, I want to talk to you about the Alabama situation in a couple of minutes, but
yeah.
I want to start with Kermit Davis. He is now gone. Not a big surprise. Most people thought he would not make it this year. But what are you hearing in relation to who could be next?
Oh, you're going to love these names. We got a little Chris Beard. that is going to be at least looked at and researched. Will Wade, another one, who I think will be researched, and obviously both of them carry baggage in different ways. You know, Will Wade still kind of working his way through the NCAA investigation right now after being fired at LSU. Chris Beard, as we know, the charges were dropped, the assault charges by the DA, but ultimately there's still going to be some question marks whether or not he can be hired at an SEC school this quickly, you know, with all the damage that was done from that police report. Those are two. Dusty May, another one that has some connections there. Dusty is the only coach in the country right now in the mid-major, the one-bid league. He's at FAU, who's in the at-large conversation, and will get in the NCAA tournament. And I'm telling you, it's a brutally tough job. If you go down there, which I was there a few weeks ago, to Boca Raton, it looks awesome, you know, right near the beach. But if you see the facilities, if you see the support, it's one of the toughest jobs in the league. And he's got them on the brink of winning the regular season title right now. And he's got a connection in that he worked for Mike White. Mike White played at Ole Miss, played with Keith Carter, the AD at Ole Miss.
Yeah, Keith Carter, definitely a basketball guy. Jeff, yep. On Beard, let's talk about him for a second, because I realized his fiance dropped the charges, but that's doesn't really absolve the mess that he got himself in, that he lost one of the best jobs in the country. I mean, how bad is it for him?
Well, it depends on who's hiring, right? I mean, obviously, you know, the hard part for him is going to be getting everybody on board, right? It's not just the athletic director. It's the board. It's the president or the chancellor. And obviously, it's going to be hard for him to recruit at the same level because, you know, whether or not he was guilty, innocent, whatever, it doesn't look good, certainly for women, right? If you're a mother, how are you reacting to Chris Beard recruiting your son? So I think that's something that's going to be a hurdle for him to have to overcome wherever he's hired. Can he get an SEC job, or does he have to start with, you know, something on the smaller end, you know, one bid league? You know, maybe get in, maybe at like a Wichita State, if that opens, a Western Kentucky, if Rick Stansbury's fired, which I'm told he probably will be here. So I don't know. I mean, again, does he take the year off? I don't think he does. I think he takes a job and he will get an opportunity at a job this year in this carousel, but I don't know if it's going to be an SEC job.
With Jeff Goodman. Jeff, let me get to the story of the week here and in college basketball, and that's the situation in Tuscaloosa. I realize we don't know very much, but from what we do know, your thoughts on the way Nate Oates and in particular the university has handled it so far?
So obviously Nate didn't handle it well from the first press conference, right? I mean, that was a train wreck in how he handled it. But I still, listen, when I'm looking at this whole thing, and I spent time with Brandon Miller in Portland, I've talked to his parents and his brother prior to all of this for a story that I was working on for more than an hour. I think it was, again, I just see people crucifying him right now. And what I go back to is, has he been charged with anything? Is he a suspect? I've been doing this long enough to understand that that's generally what I go on right now, right? I made mistakes when I was younger as a reporter. I remember Patrick Beverly. It was Patrick Beverly that kind of changed the way I looked at things. And, you know, they were, if you remember, they were accused of sexual assault, Patrick Beverly and a couple other players down at Arkansas years ago. And I remember putting their names out there. And after that, I just said to myself, I'm going to be more careful with these situations because they were later absolved. And again, until they're charged, and he hasn't been charged of anything, Paul. So to me, I'm going to rely on law enforcement in this one. And I know it doesn't look good, but what if he just made a very, very poor decision? You know, if I call you, Paul, and I say, hey, I left my gun in your car, or you call me, because I don't know if you own a gun. I don't. I've never held a gun. But if you call me and say, hey, Jeff, I left my gun in your car, I would want to get the hell that gun out of my car immediately. I don't know if I'd throw it in the woods. I don't know if I'd bring it back to you, but it would not be sitting in my car 5 minutes later. That's all I'd say. Brandon Miller has not owned a gun in his life. And again, did he make a mistake? Should he have been suspended? Probably. I mean, that's the area where I think Alabama might have screwed it up is, hey, you know what? Let's suspend him for a couple games for a poor decision here and make this a teaching moment. But again, police didn't charge him with anything. He's not a suspect. I don't know. I have a hard time with this one.
Jeff, do you have any understanding of why they didn't do anything more at that moment? Because I agree with you. Suspending him now is just feeding the crowd at the gate and saying, okay, we'll do that just to get it out of the way. But it seems like had they done it then, this story would be over, at least as far as Brandon Miller is concerned.
I'm not sure they knew at the time anything more than that he was at the scene. I'm not sure they knew right away that he had transported the gun to Darius Miles at that point. So I think they learned that later. They still probably should have suspended him when they found that out. And they obviously should have been prepared for what was to come. Because, again, it was going to come out at some point that Brandon Miller was there. They should have been prepared. They should have had a PR team in place for not just for Nate Oates, but for the rest of the players. Because you know they're the number one team in the country at one point here. They're going to go deep in the NCAA tournament. They're going to get questions about all this. So at some point, you've got to prepare the players as well as how to handle the situation.
Jeff, help me understand this because you've covered a lot of college basketball and NCAA tournaments. Right now, they can keep Brandon Miller and everyone else on that team in a bubble. Nate Oates comes out and does whatever. Yeah. What happens when you get to the tournament, especially as you work your way through the tournament and into the Final Four? How different is it and will it be?
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to bring all your starters out. I mean, you can't, you know, like there's the day before the game, press conference, and open locker room. Now, I don't think we had open locker room last year because of COVID the last, you know, 2 years. But I assume it'll go back to open locker rooms this year, I hope. So he's not going to be able to hide him. Brandon Miller is going to have to talk. And I actually think, Paul, in my opinion, Brandon Miller should talk. I think he should talk now to somebody because I think we want to see it and hear it from him. And unfortunately, we haven't yet. And we've seen, again, Nate struggle coming out of the gates with that first press conference. And that didn't really help matters at that point. But I again, how are you prepared for that as a coach? You're a coach. You've never been through something like this. You get off the court, and this is you have to deal with something you're not completely prepared for at that time, and you don't even know all the information. I remember, here's a good example. I remember when I was at ESPN and the whole FBI deal broke, I was in Newport, Rhode Island, covering Celtics training camp. Kyrie had just signed, Gordon Hayward had just signed. I wake up that morning to go over to Salve Regina College, and the whole thing breaks with the FBI deal, 9:30, 10 in the morning. And ESPN called me, and they were like, hey, we need you on the air. And you know what I said to him? Hell no. I'm not going on the air. I don't know anything yet. I need to read. I need to hear. I'm not going to get up there and embarrass myself not knowing. That's probably what Nate should have done. But he didn't. He's never been through this situation.
I wish you had told me that. I've been on the air too many times at ESPN not knowing what I'm talking about, Jeff.
Me too. Me too. That was the one time. See? By you know, trial and error, you figure it out.
I realize this seems like a trite question to ask after what we've been talking about in relation to Alabama, but assuming everything holds together, I mean, and they are presumably the number one seed in the tournament, just describe how you think they'll handle the tournament without knowing where they're going and who they're playing. But is this team built to win the national championship?
I had them in my top four teams a week ago. I do not have them in my top four teams anymore. I just think the team's too young. Like, Brandon was great the other night, how he handled it. And again, I spent time with him in Portland. He is pretty mature. Like, you sit down and talk to him, again, made a huge mistake here. However you cut it, he made a huge mistake. But I think, again, talking to him and seeing how he reacted the other night showed some maturity, right? I'm not sure he can keep that up again. When you're going through the NCAA tournament, you got to answer these questions over and over and over. And his teammates, he's one of four freshmen that are playing a ton of minutes. They're going to have to handle the same questions over and over and over. So, you know, to me, Houston, Kansas, those are my top two teams going to the tournament. Obviously, we don't have a, you know, bracket yet. But those are two teams that have great coaches that have been around a while. They've got guards who can make plays for themselves off the bounce. You know, Houston's probably the team with the fewest weaknesses, but they play in a mid-major league right now.
Great stuff. Can't believe we haven't talked to you in so long. I feel terrible. Jeff, come back soon. Thank you very, very much. Jeff Goodman joining us as we head to the break. 30 minutes remaining for this week.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We're back. AJ returns to the scene. Hello, AJ.
I do return to for the week, Paul.
What is up?
I want to end this night with some joy. And it goes, Squirrel and Jim sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First come love, then come marriage, and then come squirrel with a bunch of baby squirrels in the cage. That's my reply to you, Squirrel,
goodness.
On that. That was a total disrespectful call that you sent to me. But, Paul, mainly what I really wanted to talk about was I'm sick and tired of these two pronouns right here. I'm going to speak them out to you. I'm sick and tired of them. It's called black and it's called white. I'm sick and tired, or adjective, whatever you want to call
pronouns,
it. I'm sick and tired of the black and the white. I'm sick and tired of people saying black or white, whether it's political, whether it's sport oriented, it doesn't matter. It's not a skin problem.
Not to be a grammarian, but it is an adjective. It's not a pronoun.
It is an adjective. That's why I threw that in there, because I was thinking about pronoun while I was out. That ain't a pronoun. That's an adjective. But absolutely, Paul, I'm sick and tired of this black and this white. I'm tired of JK type people calling in here and Quentin and you in a position and putting the B on you and putting you under the spotlight. I'm sick and tired of the black and the white. Okay.
I hear you. Hey, I hear you, AJ. Thank you very much. Jim is up next. Hello, Jim.
I got my energy back in that fool. That's
Man,
a damn
you sound
fool,
great.
Paul. Hey, I know. Let me tell you something, Paul. That damn guy, that rotten guy, we're sick and tired of you. Get off this program, you moron. You're a complete moron. You can't talk fluently. It's pure hell. Listen to you, you jerky AJ the jerk. A stands for, you know what the A stands for, and the J stands for jerk, jerk, jerk. Paul, I can't stand that guy. I know you don't like that guy. He's horrible. Runs his mouth. He's nothing but a punk, a thug and a punk. I really mean that. I believe that.
Jim, I can't tell you how happy we are to hear you angry again.
Well, you got your energy back, but I'm going to tell you something, Paul. This is, I think it's a travesty for what Brandon Miller's been going through. If he didn't even know the gun was in the car, how in the hell can anybody accuse him of anything? You know what? I'm serious. And that's what the investigation showed. He didn't even have the, he didn't even know that gun was in his car.
Well, as of now, there's no evidence to show that he did, other than the text to him from his teammate.
Well, the text came, which surprised him, obviously, because the guy said, "My gun's in your car." And from what that the full report was, Brandon didn't even know he was in, the gun was left in the car. Well, but of course, he wanted to bring it back when the guy asked for it. And that's understandable, Paul. And he didn't know he was going to use the gun.
Your friend, the attorney, he was heading back there anyway.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Yeah, you're right. He's a friend of mine. He was a good friend of mine. We went some parties, and, I mean, the guy's a smart guy, Paul. He used to love to watch me play pool. You know, I was in the huddle house one night about 10 years ago, and I hadn't seen him in about 4 or 5 years, and he was a DA down here and everything. But I used to see him all the time. We used to hang out in another coffee shop all night long talking and having fun. And we would talk. About 10 people would come up and join us like we do on this show. You know, they love what we knew the talk. So anyway, what am I trying? I lost my train of thought about.
That's okay.
Well, anyway, he's a sharp guy, and he used to watch me play poo. And you know, I could play poo, Paul, believe me.
Oh, you were Minnesota Fats, weren't you?
No, I wasn't Minnesota. I wasn't a fat guy. I'm not a fat guy.
No,
I'm a slender.
I was just a figure of speech. Yeah,
I played close to him. At one time, I could play. At one time, I played probably better than him, to be honest with you. Raw shooting.
Oh, here we go again.
Okay, go ahead and say what the hell you want to. Listen to me. If you listen to me, and I'm just telling you, I could shoot ball. I ran 5, 8, or 9 racks of 9-ball when I was 15 years old. And you can take it and leave it. I don't care what you do with it. It's a fact.
By the way, Minnesota Fats, and there's been the Hustler. Was the color of money on him, too?
I don't know. I just okay. Listen, Paul. I didn't know Pooh as well as he knew it, but I could play like a champion as far as shooting balls. Then later I learned, before I got hurt, right after that. So, I mean, pool career.
He is considered the greatest pool player, at least American pool player, and you are now.
Yeah, he's not even close to Willie Moscone. We had a guy down here, Squirrel Carpenter, that died 2 years ago. It was 92 years. He could beat the, look, I saw that guy, the real New York, he was called New York Fats. When I was 15 or 16, I saw him in the pool, downtown pool room, just down there watching Marshall. And Marshall Carpenter was the guy's name. You ought to do a book on that guy. You're talking about fascinating. Paul, Jimmy Walsh, Joe Nemeth's lawyer, said he has never seen a better spectacle of sports in his life.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. He did what?
Listen, I'm not disputing your prowess. I'm just trying to put it in context.
Oh, I do it on somebody else's time. You drive me crazy.
And by the way, you're right. Moscone may have been better, but Minnesota, I mean, that wasn't his name, but that's
New York Fats is what his real name was. New York Fats. That's what his real name was when he was here. Marshall introduced me to him when I was 15 years old.
Well, we've learned something tonight.
You learn it's just a bunch of I don't know what, but AJ, get rid of that guy, Paul. He's not good for the show. He's a hypocrite liar. But he's hard. He's not even a good. He can't talk. He can't even talk well.
Jim, thanks so much. We're up against a break here, but man.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.